Well, my message today that I'll be talking about is God knows what he is doing. Sometimes we don't think so, but God does know what he's doing. Have you ever wondered why God is delaying taking control? You have something you need him to answer and he just doesn't seem to answer. Why hasn't Jesus returned? I remember when my mom was lying in a care home bed and she said, why is it so long that Jesus Christ is not coming? Do you ask why God seems deaf to your pleas, that you pray about something and it doesn't seem no answer is coming? Perhaps you felt the need to remind God how much he needs to intervene. God, you have to intervene here. And it's important that we do pray like that too. Many people in the world today are living in sheer hell, so to speak. War zones where when you look at what's happening in countries like Syria and some of those countries in the Middle East. Even many of our immigrants that have come over from Africa, some of them have lived through a lot of terrible atrocities that have happened in those countries. You know, many people are struggling with diseases and natural disasters, areas of famine. You know, we are very comfortable here. If we're hungry, we go to the fridge, go to the store. In many countries in the world, they don't know where the food is coming from tomorrow morning or today. If they get one meal a day, they're very thankful. They ask God daily, when will this end? We need your return. There's so much bad news in the world today. Pick up a newspaper, go on the internet, and almost daily you will read about earthquakes, famines, wars, shootings. That's just another thing, as Dan mentioned in the prayer. Grief and misery. With the daily atrocities shouting out from the headlines, bad news seems to be the norm around us in the world. It sometimes makes us feel that we're living in the most evil time period ever, doesn't it? But we know from studying history in the planet, we realize that this is not true. This has existed throughout eternity when man and Satan gets involved in our culture. Evil was introduced into the world from the beginning. And though Satan has been conquered, his influence is still there. And I like, as one author once put, the dragon is slain, but the tail is still swinging. You wouldn't want to stand right beside an alligator's tail because that tail can hurt. And that's Satan has been slain, but the tail is still swinging. As Christians, we know we are not immune to the physical dangers of life and limb in this world. Neither are we immune to spiritual things that may come our way. And here's a key, that God is never surprised by what we face. I know we're facing challenges and difficulties in our lives. They don't come as a surprise to God. We can trust that God knows what he is doing. That's the title of my message. The answer to all the evil we see and deal with is found in one person, Jesus Christ. Today, in my message, normally we try to focus on one scripture in a sermon or a couple of scriptures. Today I want to use passages from the Torah, the writings, the Gospels, and the epistles of Paul to show a theme that God truly does know what he's doing in our world and in the world around us. Let's begin in Genesis 18 with the story of Abraham bartering with God over Sodom and Gomorrah. God had seen the wickedness in the two cities and told Abraham it was time to destroy them. We'll read of this account in Genesis 18:20-26. Then the Lord said, how great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous in a city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake. And you've got to love God's patience, because Abraham didn't stop there, as we know. He continued to barter with God all the way down to 10. And in Genesis 18:32, it says, "Do not let the Lord be angry," Abraham continued. "If I speak just once more, Lord, suppose 10 are found, will you still destroy the city?" "For the sake of 10, the Lord said, I will not destroy the city." You know, when we think God is not hearing our pleas, it's important to think of this story. Abraham here pleaded with God not to destroy the city for the sake of from 50 all the way down to 10. God, however, already knew the outcome, and he knew the future of the city. He let Abraham barter with him so Abraham could learn to trust and believe God knew what he was doing. There is times when we feel like it would be better if all the evil around us in the world was blotted out, wiped off. We know God could do that. God could get rid of all the evil. He did it in Noah's day when the earth was corrupt and he destroyed the whole earth and he started over with Noah and his family. Some of us say, why can't it just end? Why can't Christ return and put a stop to it all? Christ's sacrifice defeated Satan, but we're still living in an evil world. We say, and I've heard it before, why is Christ delaying his coming? Perhaps maybe it's because he has a bigger plan than you and me realize. Our lack of understanding all the details does not mean God's plan isn't the best plan. You know, God has the best plan for what's going to happen in the world. And sometimes we say, well, God, why aren't you intervening? But God has a bigger plan than what we see. His plan always works for good. Our responsibility is to pray for God's will and to accept his timing, not our own. And we can learn from Jesus Christ when he came to the earth. He knew the death that he was going to go through. And he prayed, God, help me. But not my will be done. He said, not my will, but your will, Father. He prayed that God's will be done. And that's a tough prayer to pray, isn't it? When we pray, God, help your will to be done. Because sometimes it can be a little scary because we may not want to endure what God's will is, it's a tough prayer to pray with confidence, thy will be done. Let's now look at Psalm 138 and focus on the last two verses in Psalm 138, 7-8. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. You know, we all walk in trouble, in the midst of trouble. And the psalmist understood this. But he also understood that we're not forsaken when we face trouble. We do feel like we're forsaken, don't we? But we are not forsaken. I know some of you are going through some really difficult times right now, and you feel like, God, where are you? Why aren't you answering? God hasn't forsaken us. He's there. And sometimes when that story where we see the person carrying the person on the sand, said, why in my most difficult time, God, did you leave me? And God says, the footprints you see in the sand are not yours, they are mine. I'm carrying you. And that's what God carries us through those difficult times, even though we're not sure about that. This is something we need to believe. But sometimes we get misled by lies around us in the world. What are some of the lies the world tells us? God doesn't care. Society throws at us those things. He isn't concerned about you. He rules from a distance. He doesn't know what's going on here. Those are lies that society throws at us. That Jesus wasn't really God, that he can't really intervene. It's not unusual to struggle in faith when you're facing severe trials. And many of us do, and we have a severe trial. It hits us in our faith area. We struggle. And it's not something we should be ashamed of, because we all, when we hit severe trials, it hurts and our true humanity comes out. But God still cares and loves us. There's a lot of lies that are going on. This is one of the issues facing the believers in Colossae that Paul addressed. Notice what he says to them in this letter in Colossians 2:6-8. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. Throughout this chapter, Paul warns against false philosophies, legalism, a worship of angels and asceticism, heretical influences. We face many influences today in our society, don't we? Society throws at us all kinds of things. Our culture throws at us all kinds of things. Can you think, I'll just throw it out, can you think of any things that our culture, our society, the world around screams at us in us remaining faithful to God? Any thoughts? Video games, okay. Society keeps us very busy with all kinds of things that have nothing to do with God. I'll just go through a few things. Jesus said God is real, but the world around us often says that God is not real. Society sometimes says Jesus was not God. Society screams that God isn't interested in you, but he is. He died for every one of us on the cross. Society says you aren't good enough for God. You aren't good enough for God. Who's the accuser of the brethren? That's Satan. And when we sin, we know we've messed up. And Satan's there saying, God doesn't care about you anymore. And God says, I love you and you are my precious child and I forgive you. Society says, and the world says, you're not forgiven. But that's not what God says. You need to earn salvation, society says. You need to do something. You need to, you know, do some things here to order to win your favor with God. There's many other slogans that society throws at us. People today are still held captive by numerous lies and various belief systems that are not of Christ. And Jesus reminds us to stay rooted in the pure gospel. And the pure gospel is Jesus is that answer for all of us. And maybe the slogan is a little bit quaint, you know, you see a sign on a billboard, but Jesus truly is the answer to all our problems. His life, death, resurrection, his sacrifice changed everything for us. If Jesus hadn't come, we would have no future, no life, no eternity. So his coming means everything. His life is important. Colossians 2:9-10 says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. Jesus is in charge, and we may not think, or it may not look like at times, but he is over every ruler and authority. And they may doubt that, but he can remove any authority or any ruler, just like he did Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. He's in charge. We can read these encouraging words and know that they are true when we see the atrocities happening in the world and suffer in personal failures and personal struggles. And we get overwhelmed when we lose sight of Jesus Christ being our hope. So how do you and me remain rooted and strong in our faith? How do we live or continue to live our lives in him? How do we remain established in the faith? We need to look to Jesus as that example. And one constant in Jesus' life was what? Prayer. Jesus prayed. You wouldn't think he would have to because he was God. But he prayed. Sometimes he prayed all night. And his disciples must have wondered. They were in awe when they watched Jesus praying. And they wanted some of what he had. That communion that he had with the Father as he poured out his heart in prayer to the Father. They had heard that John the Baptist taught his followers how to pray, and they wanted to know how to do it as well. And this brings us to the familiar scripture in Luke 11, verse 1 to 4. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught the disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We do know that this prayer that Jesus prayed is not the prayer that we pray every day, but this is an outline of what Jesus gave, of things we can pray about in our prayers. And each one of those, you could write a book on each one of those items in that outline. Later in church history, another line was added to this prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we read those prayers and it's something, it's really encouraging for us that this is what we need to do. It's a guideline. But sometimes we stop there. But Jesus continued to address the unspoken question of prayer. And he addresses, does God hear our prayers? Does he answer prayer? Does God care? And can we trust him? Notice what it says now in the next verses in Luke 11, 5 to 8. Right after when it gives the example of the Lord's Prayer. He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. And you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Some translators have translated the word persistence also as boldness. We go to God in prayer. We need to be persistent in our prayer, but we can approach the throne of God with boldness, saying, Father, you have said that you will hear us and guide us and help us through the difficulties. And we can go to God with boldness, asking for his intervention in our lives. And we need to believe that. Many scriptures show God is eager to hear and answer prayer. So do we approach God with persistence or say the same thing over and over? Or do we approach him with boldness, saying, God, I beseech you, hear my prayer. I need your help in this matter. Then we go on into the next verse, which adds a lot to even these verses. In Luke 11, 9 to 13. Jesus says, and so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. There's a responsibility on you and me when we want God's intervention in our life. We need to go to God and ask. What does it say in the book of James? You have not because you ask not. It seems God doesn't answer us, but have we gone to him and regular to go to him with our needs and things that we need his help in? You have not because you ask not. But it says here, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Think of your kids. When your kids come to you asking for help, any normal, decent parent would want to help and want to help their children. And God is even so much greater than a normal parent who loves way thousands of times more than a parent could even love their children. Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Or you then who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Brethren, God knows what he is doing. He knows the good gifts to give you and when. Jesus is telling us to pray when we need his help, to pray at all times. Pray for forgiveness, pray for help in areas of trouble and difficulty that we're going through. Pray when you're feeling tempted and weak. Always pray that his will be done, and his will is good. Let's face it, it's just difficult to pray for God's will. Like I said before, there's fear involved. We don't want to say, God, your will be done. You know, I really like this, but your will. And we're kind of hesitant to say, help your will to be done in my life, because God's will may involve more suffering too. But his purpose will be fulfilled in our lives. I say, what if I don't like God's will? And sometimes we feel like that, don't we? But God will see you through. Under some circumstances, praying for God's will is tough, is a tough prayer to really mean it. And that's where our hope lies, in God and his will for us and his will for an evil world. We know that God knows what is best, both in the short term and long term, better than we ourselves could even know. He knows how and when to give good gifts. Many times in life, there's only one place we can go for hope for the future, and that is Jesus Christ. Christ's way of hope is the way of knowing who is in charge of the world, the way of anticipation toward what the future holds for us. And Jesus has given us so many wonderful gifts of grace and faith. When we stop to consider the wonderful gifts he's given us, I think we should take a journal, sit down and write down everything we are thankful for. Our families, our friends, our children, our homes, a place to live, food, a dry place to sleep. You drive down the street and you see people that spend the night, and it might not be too bad now in the summer, but in the wintertime when it's raining and it's about minus 10 degrees outside, they're sleeping on the street. For his protection, we're thankful for the gifts, his safety. We can meet here in safety in a beautiful facility. Peace of mind. Another one is health. We may struggle with health difficulties, but we could be a lot worse off than we are right now. So there's many things that we can be thankful for, the gifts and things he's given us. So when we are at our weakest, great power lies in our hope in Christ. So tomorrow morning when you turn on the TV or look at the newspaper or phone, take a deep breath and do not lose sight of that hope that God really does know what he's doing. God knows what's going on. He does know what's happening. He knows what he is doing. Jesus really is the answer. So I'd like to close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time. Thank you, Father, for loving us, caring for us, being patient with us. We know we're not perfect, but we know, Father, that you continue to love us even when we mess up over and over again. We ask for your Spirit to guide us and guide us through the difficulties and the challenges we face. Some of us are struggling with health issues. Some are struggling to be joined with loved ones. Some are struggling to go through different things at work and family issues and many different issues, Father, that really hurt. And we ask for you to be with all of us. Help us to know that just as a father wants to give good gifts to his children, you as our Heavenly Father are there wanting to give us the best and wanting to answer our prayers. Help us to come to you with boldness and courage and persistence and to allow you to lead us in our lives and know that no matter what happens when we take it to you, you are in charge and you know what you are doing. So guide us in our lives so we will have your Spirit leading us this coming week. Also, please be with, we ask a blessing on the lunch we're about to have, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.